It's WRTA Weekend, Doug Herendeen, and this segment on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA is Money Matters. This is the folks at ARC Federal Credit Union. Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have a series of monthly talks where we go over things with, that might help your budget, might help your wallet, might help your spending habits, and you can find those at WRTA.com as podcasts and also at the ARC Federal Credit Union site. We're going to talk about practical mindful spending or practicing mindful spending, which I would imagine we could all use a little help with. I know I could, especially after this past weekend when I went and got some stuff for the lawn this time of year. Where do you even start on this?
So, as always, you have to have that outline, that budget set up and in place, or else you don't have anything to refer to when you look at something and you get excited about, oh, I really want this, I really need this. Is it a need? Is it a want? To refer back to that initial outline for how you should be spending your money to say, does this fit into that outline, to that plan, or not? You know, that if you don't have that initial budget in place and that initial plan, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to practice this mindful spending, this being attentive to where every dollar goes.
I've noticed with myself that I may intend to spend a certain amount at a certain retailer or on a certain project, and I get to this point, which I think is referred to as fudge-it, judge-it, and you sort of like, you fudge the figures a little bit, and you just, well, yeah. Yeah, I can afford the extra 25 on this, or in some people's cases, I know they'll do the extra 250. No, I don't go that far. But same thing with weekly grocery shopping. I have an idea of what I want to spend, and unfortunately, I've had to readjust it as we've had the inflation because, I'm sorry, just spending, $28 a week is not going to cut it anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah, but I used to be able to almost judge it exactly to 25, and now it's like, it's at least going to be 35, if not a lot more, if you need something extra. When you say practice mindful spending, how do you get into the habit of doing this?
Much like when we talked about, you know, building a budget and paying attention to it and where are you landing each paycheck each month, mindful spending is something where you have to, when you first do it, be very attentive to what am I spending my money on, which goes into that habit of building a budget. And then when something comes up that you didn't plan to spend your money on, or just a little bit of a splurge for yourself, you look back and say, can I do this? Do I need this? Will this break my budget? Will I pay for this down the road?
And also, I think when you're talking about something comes up, okay, the water heater. You didn't plan on that, but boy, that's going to be a lot more than a splurge.
Right. Right.
So if you didn't splurge 125 times the last year, maybe it's not as painful, although it's painful, maybe not as painful to replace the water heater. Is that what you're going for?
Right. And I know some people use retail therapy as a means to say, well, I need this to make myself feel better. I'm really down in the dumps. I'm just going to hop on my favorite website and pick up a new pair of shoes, or I'm going to go, I would love to say go out to the mall, but I don't know how great the shopping experience is at the mall anymore.
That's better than some malls, I'll at least say that, yeah, thankfully.
But, you know, hit your favorite store or Bath & Body Works if you're into that kind of thing. Get yourself something as a little pick-me-up that wasn't planned, right?
Some people usually do that and stop and get some flavored coffee or something, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I was good all week. I didn't blow my budget. Yeah, now I'll pay $5 for this.
Right. And those are things that if you are relying on splurges or spending money as a means to boost your mood, usually, one, it's temporary, right? And you're thinking, oh, I need this to alleviate stress. What that tends to do down the road is cause more stress when you don't have that money for something you need. When your water heater does go out and you think, oh, man, if I hadn't bought, you know, $125 of bodywork stuff.
If I hadn't bought all those Lego sets on eBay or something, yeah. Buying our childhoods back. Yeah, when you mentioned retail therapy, I hadn't thought of that in a long, long time, but I have a friend who got stuck in the retail therapy loop years ago. And it cost him a lot of money. You know, it's the stereotypical, oh, women go out and buy shoes. No, this guy would buy books or something like that. And admittedly, It was strange because two friends and I would go into a bookstore, and I would be the one most likely to come out without five books. They would be the ones most likely to buy more books than they had intended because, oh, look at this one. It's really great.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. It's like, do I really want to spend the money on that? Well, not today, but the next time we go.
Right. And that is one of the biggest tests of mindful spending is when you are looking at more, and I'm going to say a large purchase, but honestly, that has to be a dollar amount that you set based on your budget, your comfort level. It could be $50. It could be $250, whatever your qualification is for a large purchase. Mm. And you say, okay, this is something that, do I need it? I'm going to wait on it. I'm going to give it a week. I'm going to give it 10 days, whatever your time frame is, that's reasonable. And usually most people say a week, 2 weeks. Two, I'm going to come back. One, if it's still there. Mm. Two, if I still feel that urge that I'm going to get this and I really want this. Then, yes, that's mindful spending.
When I was getting stuff for the new house, I would be going to a lot of secondhand stores and charitable shops. And there, of course, they're not going to have five more in the back. You mm-hmm. see it, it's like either you pick it up or you're going to lose it.
Right.
But that's really, you have to fight the temptation. It's like, well, you know, I've got to have it or I'm never going to see it again. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not buying rare stuff.
Right. It's just unique.
It's just unique. And I guess you have to decide how much you really want it, because I have had that situation where there was something I wanted. It was $20. Okay. It's not going to break me. Mm-hmm. But if I add that to a couple other 20s I don't spend, it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. I went back a couple weeks later and it was gone, which I figured it would be. It was a nice item for the price. And I couldn't believe it was that low. But I realized when I got home and looked around, I really didn't need it, nor did I have the space. But if I had just gone with the impulse, I would have bought it and then go, oh, great. Now, where do I put it? And I spend $20 I didn't have to.
Right, right. And that is a key, I guess, tenet, you could say, of the mindful spending is wait. You know, just give yourself that moment of, so one thing I've learned to do, when I first get up sometimes in the morning, I will just scroll through my phone and see what's going on in the world. And sometimes you get hit with those ads on your social media. Check this product out. And I click on stuff. And I'm like, oh, look at that. And if I buy now, I get this discount for being this is my first purchase. And this is my first. And I have learned that that is one of my weaknesses is I'm half awake and I see something that, oh, this would be nifty to have. Plus, I get a discount. So I have learned that if I put it in my cart, I close my phone, I finish getting ready for the day, move on, and maybe that night or the next day, whatever, I look back at it and I'm like, oh man, what was I thinking? I don't even need this. And 98% of the time, that is something where I'm like, yeah, nope, didn't even need it.
I've sort of had that. I'll turn the radio on first thing, then pick up the phone, and I'll start going through it. But the thing that I have discovered mostly on my phone is, in the past when I bought something, especially if it's from a site I don't buy from often,
mm-hmm.
I will get texts repeatedly because you signed up. Hey, we'll give you 15% off if you sign up for a text to bother you. You can always unsubscribe later.
Right.
And in a small way, I usually don't unsubscribe because of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Right.
But there's one site I got some gifts for some people. And I realized I'm not going to use this all that often.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm going to use it near December. Okay, so I won't unsubscribe for that reason. But boy, they'll send you a lot of texts throughout the year.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, yes, but you're saving 25% off. And as my dad used to say, save 100% off, don't buy it.
Wise man.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you about this before I forget, and since you study this and you deal with this every day, I've read that buying things, you know, you talk about retail therapy, there's like an endorphin rush when you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Not when the check or the bill comes and you have to write the check or pay it online, but there's almost like this gratifying kick that makes you feel just a little bit naturally high,
mm-hmm.
as if you, I don't know, if you want to ascribe it to coffee or whatever else or something really cool. Oh, I've acquired this. And
it's that novelty, that new, I have something new to use or to show off or to, you know, whatever sparks your interest, or I have a new book to read. I have mm-hmm. a new Lego set to build. I have whatever excites you, you know, you have a new avenue to explore with that, you know, and that is something that people, the reason retail therapy exists, and marketers who are very good at their trade at that target that and say, oh, and that fear of missing out, try this. You'll really like it when you get it, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of angle.
If it's something you really didn't know you wanted, see, usually I'll be, there are a couple of CDs. Yes, some of us still use CDs because they can't take the CD back after you've bought it. And they can do that to the online stuff, just saying. But there was one I was looking for over 10 years. And I actually found it for $1.99 this past Christmas. You better believe I smashed a button for that.
Yeah.
But it's $2, including the shipping. And I knew I had wanted it.
Right. And that, again, that mindful spending where it's not you just stumbled onto something you had never really encountered before and went, oh, man, wouldn't that be nice to have? You had been planning, hey, yeah. I know I want this. You're kind of on the lookout for it. If it's a big purchase that you're saving for, like that's why you set that dollar amount for mindful spending, not, oh, I am saving intentionally to get a new patio set or something that's a larger investment. You know what you want. You know you need to save for it. That's what differentiates, you know, that kind of purchase.
It was a now obscure CD that came out in the 80s. And no, it would have been the 90s if it was CD. Yeah, it came out in the 90s of something that was out in the 80s. And I'd seen it selling for like $89 before. So for $1.99, that might be another thing we could throw in. If somebody says, oh, fear of missing out, this is $89. Yeah, but I really want it. I've been looking for 10 years. Maybe I'll just give you a tip about eBay. Look at the sold prices, because if everybody else is paying $2 for it and this guy wants $89, don't give him the $89.
Right, yes.
We're talking with Liesl Kaffhammer from ARC, and we're doing things to practice mindful spending, and there's some other things that you can do practically to practice that, and we'll talk about that in the second segment here. Money Matters on WRTA is sponsored by ARC Federal Credit Union. Liesl Kaffhammer is here with us, and we're talking about practicing mindful spending. We talked about creating a budget, maybe not practicing retail therapy, and if we have to explain retail therapy, if you just tuned in, we've all been a victim of it from time to time, and I've unfortunately known people that live by it.
That's tough.
Yeah. What are some of the ways here? You have a list of some of the things I want to go over. Consider disabling one-click feature on online shopping. Is it really going to do that much advantage to you?
You would be surprised. Just the fewer steps you have to take to complete that purchase, the more likely you are to purchase more frequently. That's why one-click purchasing exists, because retailers like Amazon know that, hey, the easier it is for them to buy it, the more likely they are to buy it, and the more frequently they will buy. That's why they set up those recurring subscriptions, right? Which, I mean, they have their pros and cons, don't get me wrong. But one of the things is they know that you will come back to them, and that order will get placed through them every month, every 6 weeks, whatever you set it up for. So ease of purchase is more of a guaranteed sell.
Yeah, except for two streaming services, and they're cheap compared to some. I don't have anything on recurring right now. I know that I get all these offers. Hey, put this on recurring. It's so cheap if you do that. But if it's something I'm not going to use, or do I really need, you know, it's like steaks or coffee. It's like I can buy that at a local brick and mortar, and I'd rather buy it from an independent as opposed to a chain anyway.
Right. And those are things that you have to look at your situation, what makes sense. I grew up in a family, I have four siblings. So, I mean, we had a big family. So if that was an option back then, I'm sure my mom would have loved to have had a lot of our dry goods and things like the paper towels and the toilet paper and stuff delivered to the house. That would have been so easy. And that's, I use that as an example because I get the paper towel shipped to the house every, you know, 6 weeks or something.
You know, but thinking about what you just said, I'm imagining now, I don't have one click. But I also don't store my credit cards on the sites because I don't trust them. Is that a good idea or a bad?
So that is something that, one, your personal comfort level, right?
Yeah.
And your debit card, your credit card, that information, most financial institutions are very good with the algorithms they have in place to detect unusual activity, which is usually fraudulent activity. So you get notifications. You have to make sure that your contact information is up to date with your financial institutions so that you get, usually it's a text first, then a phone call, an email sometimes as a last line of defense to say, hey, did you make this purchase? Mm-hmm. Is this you? Your card can be shut down if it seems unusual. That's not 100% guaranteed, but those systems are, they're pretty robust. So they're pretty good at catching that stuff. And when there are fraudulent transactions, financial institutions are usually able to verify when they're fraud to get your money back to you. Again, nothing's 100%, but...
Just, I've never felt comfortable with that, but I stopped and thought about it. If I have one-click ordering, I don't have to put my credit card information in every single time.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
So
speaking unless you memorize those 16 digits and that 3-digit, 4-digit code and the expiration date.
I'm proud to say I have not. But I remember the last 4 digits because I write it on the check when I pay them every month. But thinking about that, it's got to be a bit of a discouragement. It's like if I just go and it sells or I buy it, it's a lot different than going to Amazon and saying, yeah, I think I'll go, fudge it, judge it, whatever. Yeah, I'll get it. I probably shouldn't this month. But then I have to get out the wallet, get out the card, type the whole thing in, type my address in, type all. And suddenly you've got more of a, it's not, if you're absolutely convinced you're going to buy it, it's not going to stop you. But at the same time, if you really didn't know whether you should buy it, you may have time to go, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm. Autofill is the impulse buyer's best friend and worst enemy at the same time. It really is. Those saved payment methods and it fills in your name, your address, your everything that you need to just 3 clicks and you're through that whole process and done.
Now, this next one here, I would be almost at a loss. Leave your cards and cash at home. I'm thinking, yeah, but what if?
Oh, exactly. And that is kind of stipulated if you get onto the website and read the article. We understand that nobody wants to leave home without cash.
Don't leave home without it.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. But if you do take, that emergency money with you, understand that it is for emergencies and try and keep it as inaccessible as possible, right? I mean, guys, you keep it in your wallet. It is what it is. But we also carry our phones with us all the time or our smartwatch, and payment is only a tap away, right? It is sometimes far too easy to make those payments when you're somewhere that accepts, that tap to pay.
No offense to Apple Pay or any of the other competitors. I've just never felt, again, comfortable doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of your customers at ARC do you figure use anything like it?
I wish I had that number offhand. And I know a lot of that is generational.
Would you say it's a significant number now, or is it 20%?
Oh, it's definitely a significant number, especially since COVID. Mm. I mean, that was just something you had to kind of start getting used to. And some people have really stuck with it and developed a comfort level with it. And some people, as soon as they could get away from it, they did. But I think as generations are shifting, I mean, there was a point where millennials were, the young college kids, and they were the ones, oh, what are millennials doing? Well, no, now millennials are the ones whose kids are going into college right now. And it's a much different mindset for the kids that are going into the working world where they want those digital options and those quick, easy payment options.
I suppose maybe it is generational because, I mean, I remember a time where you had cash or you had a credit card. And in some cases, the credit card was even cardboard if it was a department store card, or you had those little metal plates.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, my mother had one of those for Abraham and Strauss, A&S in New York. And in other words, it wasn't so easy. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of commerce, I guess, that wouldn't happen if we didn't have that ease.
Right, and now with the advent of the person-to-person payment apps and things like that, that just, Venmo and Cash App and Zelle, you can make these direct payments just from me to you, and our financial institutions don't have to be involved.
See, if I owe my friend $25 for gas money, I'd rather just give him the $25 I got out of the ATM.
And that's, again, very generational and understandable.
Because I'm old as dirt. But I guess, it's a tool like anything else. It can be used or misused.
Right.
And in this case, if you don't have the, I guess, I don't want to say stamina, but the will not to misuse it. you mm-hmm. may end up spending a lot more than you would otherwise.
Right. And if you carry cash around with you, one of the, I guess, upsides is that unlike a debit card, which could be connected to your checking and have an overdraw from your savings, and, you know, that card is far too easy to sometimes swipe and swipe and swipe. Cash, you see when it's depleting. Like, $5.
I had $30 when I started the day. How did I get down to $6?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Which was me at the plant sale at Jaggard United Methodist. I'm just saying, but yeah. But at least you've set yourself a limit there, because face it, you're not going to go there with $100 cash because you only wanted to spend maybe 30.
Right. And I will say that there are digital options that are realizing that people want those limits, but they also want the convenience of digital that are coming into play now, or cards or whatever. But that's something that when you go out the door, don't give yourself the option to have access to more funds than you're comfortable spending, or that would put you in a situation where your budget is strained.
Another one you mentioned, put large purchases on hold.
Right. So, again, when you're walking around and you see, oh, my goodness, look, wouldn't it be great if I – and I don't want to, like, stereotype, because I am, oh, look at those shoes. I would love to have those shoes, but I don't really need them. Or I could be, look at that new set of, I don't know, tools at Home Depot. I've had these discussions with my partner. Like, do we need another one of those?
Yeah.
I don't know. not that I haven't spent money on a power washer or something that I come home and, what?
Wouldn't it be great to have this?
The sidewalk will look lovely, I swear.
It's called a broom. Look into it. It's like...
But the things where, like, oh, but it's on sale, and but it's a large purchase. So you need to look at it and go, yeah, it's on sale, but what if we just wait for a week? The sale will be over. Okay, well, can we swing the sale price now? You at least take a step back for a day or for a couple hours and look at your budget. If it's something where you're like, okay, I'm going to wait till next week, the sale's still going on next weekend. Mm-hmm. If they don't have enough and it's a big box store like Home Depot or Lowe's or something, you say, I can probably order one online. You know, usually they'll still honor their sale prices if the sale is going on.
One of the problems I've noticed that I have is I will, especially since the internet, I will compare as many prices and as many locations as I can.
Yes.
Say I want the 6SJ widget, whatever that happens to be, whatever it does. And it's you can spend $50 at one place, $55 in another, and then I find one for $47 and another one for $87. It's like, well, you know, but I'll waste a lot of time looking at that. But at the same time, I'm delaying buying it.
Right.
So
right.
That's, I guess, putting it on hold that way, because I'm... Fear of missing out. I have the fear of missing out on the best price because I don't want to just buy it because, again, a friend of mine, oh, it's $100, just spend it. But you could have got it for $70 if you waited and looked over here. I needed it now. No, you wanted it now.
Right. And there is that, what's that saying, time is money? So, you know, do you have the time to go through and compare? Is that something that's in your schedule as opposed to, you know, what does your schedule look like versus someone else's? And that is all very personalized, just like budgets are very personalized, your lifestyle, your schedule.
And the final thing, avoiding temptation, good luck.
Right.
If we could all do that, we wouldn't be spending as much as we are and doing a lot of other things maybe we shouldn't be doing.
Right. Yeah. I should stay off my phone in the mornings. That would avoid a lot of temptation for me when it comes to those ads that pop up. But, you know, develop those habits to say, okay, maybe I'll put this in my cart and then I just... close it all and don't look at it for a while till I get those reminder emails that say, hey, you left this in your cart.
I've left things in carts for months.
Yeah,
and then realized I'd forgotten it when I go to look for something else. It's like, I never bought this. Dump it out.
Right, exactly. You go back and you're like, I don't even need it. Like, it's basically.
I hadn't realized I left it in there because, you know, heaven knows if I hit the wrong button, then I buy 20 of them. So I guess we got to... try to find the alternative ways to distress. Retail therapy is not the best. Consider disabling the one-click feature for online shopping. Leave your cards and cash at home if you can, except for the essential, what you need to get to and from. Put large purchases on hold. I'm buying something later this week that I actually have looked at for over a year.
Oh, wow.
But I finally decided, okay, now I know where I can get the most economical the different type that I want, and okay, this much I can spend, that's within what I could put into this project. But mm-hmm. then, you know, I know people say, oh, just buy it. And
that hurts my soul. And not just because of what I do every day and things like that. It's just coming from a background where I know that I made poor financial decisions when I was, you know, oh, you're 18, sign up for this credit card. Oh, what's that do?
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't know better. And I hate to think of other people that are sucked into that trap. So please take your time and make those decisions.
Yeah. One thing I will credit my parents on a lot of this in how they taught me to think about managing money, and also the fact they both grew up in the Great Depression. So, you know, they were little kids, but they understood what was going on around them.
Oh, and God bless my mom. She tried. I just didn't take.
Yeah. Well, if we did everything our parents had taught us, so we'd be a lot better off. But that's just my personal insight into that. Again, ARC Federal Credit Union, where are you?
We are right off 17th Street, 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona. We're also in Juniata, down by the shops, 419 7th Street. So you can find us whether you're in the Juniata end of town by the campus or closer to the main drag right off the highway.
And the website?
arcfcu.org.
And your phone number?
814-946-0857. You can call or text that number.
And if you want to see all that information, not everybody has the access to the computer, but we do have a podcast of this program going up in about a half an hour at WRTA.com. All that info is there as well. Lisa Kaffhammer from ARC Federal Credit Union, Money Matters, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.